Good afternoon. My name is Jamal, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Business Case, a Strategic Energy Management Plan for Healthcare conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I would now like to turn the call over to our host, Gina Puglisi, Vice President, Premier Safety Institute. Thank you. Ms. Puglisi, you may begin your conference.
Thank you, and good afternoon from Charlotte, and we want to welcome you to Premier's Advisor Live, and today we're going to talk about the business case, a strategic energy management plan for healthcare. I just have a few quick announcements before I introduce today's speakers. Following today's presentation, the operators are going to tell you how to ask questions after the presentation. We're recording this presentation, and the live recording will be posted on the Advisor Live homepage at premierinc.com/advisorlive about 24 hours after the call, along with slides and links to additional resources and case studies. You'll also receive an email shortly after the call, and with that you'll get information on how to access the materials, and it'll have a link to a brief survey, and we'd really love it if you would fill out the survey and give us recommendations on future programs. I'm absolutely delighted to introduce our faculty today from Peace Health, who are going to share their journey in their energy management and cost savings. I'll introduce the speakers, and then I will turn it over to the speakers to begin the program. Gary Hall is our first speaker, and he's Regional Vice President and Systems Director in Facilities and Construction for Peace Health at their St. John's Medical Center in Longview, Washington. Gary's had over 30 years of experience in healthcare facility management, and he's a fellow in the American College of Healthcare Executives. He's also a member of ASHI and a licensed construction and inspector in the state of California. Our next speaker will be Scott Duro. He's the Resource Conservation Manager at Peace Health St. Joseph Hospital in Bellingham, Washington. And prior to coming to St. Joseph's Hospital, Scott was an energy management consultant for more than 10 years and also another 10 years as an energy management engineer for Puget Sound Energy. He's an ICC certified code plans examiner and inspector, and Scott has won the Energy Manager of the Year Award from the Association of Professional Energy Managers. And our third speaker is Ron Tolleson. He's the Director of Facilities at Peace Health, St. John's Medical Center, also in Longview. He's had over 20 years in facilities management. He's had a very special interest in energy efficiency. For many years, he's won the Hawaiian Electric Energy Efficiency Award and Project of the Year Award. And he is also a member of ASHI with a designation as a Certified Healthcare Facilities Manager and a senior of ASHI. So I would like to turn it now over to our faculty to begin their presentations. Thank you.
Thank you, Gina. This is Gary Hall, and greetings from sunny Washington State. We have beautiful weather up here today, and we're enjoying an early summer, we're hoping anyway. Peace Health, a little bit about background about Peace Health. Peace Health consists of 7 hospitals located over 3 states. We serve Oregon, Washington, and Alaska, and we have, in those states, we have over 1,000 beds covering those regions. We are a system integrated with regional deployment. So in other words, we are one system serving many communities, and Peace Health utilizes system integration for regional deployment of our system initiatives. We started off about 3 years ago with developing a facilities counterpart team, and we got together, all the 7 hospitals got together, the facilities teams and each of the hospitals got together, and we made a group that we could dialogue about the issues that we face as we look at our facility needs and different aspects of administering the facility and construction administration processes. And so we put together an oversight group, this counterpart group, where we all have a stake, and it's made up of the facility directors and managers. Scott Duro is a member, and we have other folks as well. We include outside resources inside of our counterpart team for expertise, and we'll talk about the Northwest Energy Alliance and Better Bricks here in a second. We also standardize policies. We look at purchasing opportunities, and we look at other operational efficiencies that we can gain through this counterpart group. We started off, this is where I have to pause for 1 second and give a huge recognition and thanks to Better Bricks, to Northwest Energy Alliance, and specifically Cynthia Putnam of Putnam Price. Both Cynthia Putnam and Stan Price of Putnam Price Consulting in Seattle helped us discover and articulate the strategic energy management plan that we're going to be discussing today. And this has really been key in creating and maintaining a focus for us for all 7 facilities so that we had some staying power with our energy and our efforts that we are putting forth. We created this, we started off with a charter, and we turned the charter into an actual management plan that was adopted by our Peace Health Executive Team. The Peace Health Executive Team is made up of CEOs and other senior level members of all of the Peace Health hospitals. And so that buy-in, that senior level executive buy-in was very important in our mission and our efforts to keep this goal headed in the right direction. We had a goal of 10% energy reduction over 3 years. Initially, we thought we might do something a little quicker, but we thought that was conservative. And for Peace Health, that 10% energy reduction over a 3-year period, once we reached year 3, would actualize $800,000 savings per year. And those are hard green dollars saved. So our energy management vision was to integrate energy management into Peace Health organizational policies, business practices, and institutional culture to ensure the most efficient use of our energy in our facilities. And we do this in many ways, and Scott and Ron will get into this, but we are looking at, as I said, purchasing policies, Energy Star benchmarking, and so forth. So with that, I'll turn the session over to Scott Durow, Energy Manager for the Whatcom region of Peace Health.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Scott Dura. I'm the Resource Conservation Manager at St. Joseph Hospital in Bellingham, Washington. And I would just like to start my portion of the presentation by asking the question, why energy? You know, why is energy such a critical part of all of our utilities? And so I threw in this little chart here to demonstrate that of our combined utility costs, energy comprises 88%. That when you're looking at your budgets, that is a real driver right there. Next slide, please. Okay, in developing an energy management plan, we want to proactively manage our energy use for 3 objectives. First is operational cost savings. Second is for improved environmental comfort and performance. And then third is for effective stewardship of resources. That last one there is very critical because it involves getting acceptance, buy-in, and involvement from your staff. Next slide, please. In achieving these objectives, we have a rationale for this plan. There are several rationales, but one of the keys right from the beginning is to minimize the risk associated with price volatility. As we track along our energy performance, we can see in this slide in particular where that third year in our natural gas consumption, we have a little bump there that coincides with the increase in oil and gas prices beginning last spring. If you buy your utility commodities on the spot market, as most large institutions do, you want to have some kind of consistency. And when you encounter things like the escalation in prices on the spot market in the commodities like we had last year, this constitutes a bit of volatility that you need to be able to plan for. Next slide, please. Now, energy costs are considered the most control, or are one of the most controllable facility operating costs. And energy commodity prices are largely beyond institutional control. However, hospitals can control the way they consume energy through energy management programs. And I've thrown a slide in here to demonstrate how, since we have implemented our strategic energy management plan here at St. Joseph Hospital, we've had a steady decline in our electrical consumption over that two-year period on when we track it on a month-to-month basis. Next slide, please. Now, a third rationale for this plan is that energy cost reductions improve our operating margins. Now, energy cost reductions can be evaluated in terms of equivalent new hospital revenues. And at PeaceHealth's operating margin of 3.5%, it requires $28.57 in revenue to achieve or to recognize a net of $1. So at PeaceHealth's operating margin, if we were to save, say, $500,000, this is equivalent to more than $14 million of new gross revenue. And when you can demonstrate that that sort of revenue can be redirected toward better patient care, you can quickly get the attention of your chief operating officer. Okay, next slide, please. Now, another rationale for this plan is that energy and environmental performance is viewed as a pretty strong proxy for management quality. Sarbanes-Oxley was a piece of legislation that Congress enacted after a little episode a few years back with a company called Enron. And the financial disclosure and reporting requirements of Sarbanes-Oxley require that systems be in place to monitor the operational risks that would materially affect a company's financial performance. And organizations that track and manage energy costs score very well in this analysis. And I might also add that energy performance improvements provide an opportunity to satisfy Joint Commission performance goals. Now, what we have in terms of prerequisites for developing this plan, first of all, we want to be able to benchmark our performance. And this is one of the key benchmarks here, this Energy Star ranking. I hope that folks are familiar with the Energy Star ranking system. If you can achieve energy performance and or efficiency in the top 25% of your facility category type, then you can be recognized as having an Energy Star facility. And St. John Medical Center there in Longview is performing in the top 25%. And has earned this Energy Star ranking, as has another of one of our hospitals down in the Oregon region. And at St. Joseph Hospital here, we are currently in the top third and are working to improve our performance so that we can also get into that top 25% and attain that Energy Star ranking. Another prerequisite is in the realm of building operations and maintenance scoping. One of the first things that you do in implementing an energy management plan is to target your low-cost opportunities. And we had an assessment done as part of the development of our plan back in the summer of 2006 for the PeaceHealth system. And what we showed, as Gary alluded to, was that we can show energy-saving opportunities of 10 to 30% simply through low-cost operational improvements at each facility. And tied into this is an issue called behavioral modification, behavioral changes. You want to get your staff on board, and as banal as it may sound, one of the keys to kicking off a behavior modification program or an awareness program is to have a turn-off-the-lights campaign. And this is a very simple, low-cost thing that folks can do that can have an immediate impact on your performance and a good thing to get your staff involved. Turning off lights, turning off computers, turning off equipment that's not needed during certain hours. A third prerequisite is engineering and maintenance staff training in operational efficiency. And here's where I would like to strongly recommend the Building Operator Certification Program. This is one of those programs that it's a nationally recognized program. It's sponsored through the Northwest Energy Alliance and the Better Bricks Program. There's the website link that you can use to go to get more information about it. I think between St. Joseph Hospital and St. John Medical Center in Longview that we've put approximately 15 or more folks through this program. Then, as I alluded to, an employee awareness program is very critical to an overall energy management or resource conservation management program. And what I'm demonstrating here is a little snapshot of a site on our intranet where folks can go to make their suggestions for money-saving ideas. And it's always nice to put that up and to give people recognition for the improvements that they initiate through this. Okay, next slide. Let's see, another a prerequisite, as Gary alluded to, was the importance in our system of facilities counterpart leadership. The facilities management personnel in all of our regions are collectively advancing energy management at the system level, and we do this through information sharing among our peers, policy and procedure improvements, and adoption of guiding principles. And one of the cornerstones of that is developing best practices that we follow through with system-wide. Now, at some point, capital improvements are going to be encountered, and this is where you're going to need a real solid architectural and engineering services team that is geared toward green building techniques. And you're going to need a construction team that's knowledgeable with high-efficiency materials and equipment. We have a brand new hospital in Eugene, Oregon that utilized the services of construction design team comprised of firms with national recognition in sustainable and green building techniques. And here is where I'd like to put a little plug in for commissioning, because commissioning must be an integral part of that design and construction process. Next slide, please. I'd like to throw out a few trends in healthcare. There's a lot of support available through the American Society for Healthcare Engineering and EPA, and as I alluded to earlier, the Energy Star Challenge. There are a lot of resources available through Energy Star. And on the next slide, one of the trends is the development of the Green Guide for Healthcare. This is a LEED comparable design guide. And it is developed through an organization called Practice Green Health. I would strongly encourage you to get a copy of this healthcare development guide. It is a toolkit of best practices that designers, owners, and operators can use to guide and evaluate their progress towards high-performance healing environments. Other trends in healthcare, other healthcare organizations that are taking action, particularly here in the Northwest that we're familiar with, Providence Health and Services, which operates approximately 20 facilities in the Northwest, they adopted an energy management initiative in 2002, and in 2004 the system was named Energy Star Partner of the Year. Then there's the Catholic Health Initiatives. They operate about 55 hospitals nationally, and Providence Newburgh Medical Center, that's a new hospital completed in the fall of 2006. They incorporated some design strategies and energy measures that are expected to reduce energy costs by $117,000 annually. Now, in putting this plan all together, there's some critical guiding principles. First of all, there's an executive and organizational commitment to effective energy management. Gary alluded to the importance of this earlier. You have energy management criteria that will be incorporated into the policies and practices in all regions. And then finally, all regions will develop and maintain energy performance benchmarks for hospital and medical office building facilities. There are some pretty good opportunities for us at Peace Health. And one of the first one is conducting energy cost control opportunity assessments. We did that system-wide, as I mentioned, in 2006. And we established an energy consumption reduction goal of 10% system-wide. That's over a three-year period. We established a consistent financial decision guideline and investment hurdle rate for energy management projects. And here I'd like to emphasize that projects requiring capital investment for those types of projects, we have a non-discounted 15% savings to investment hurdle rate, or a little bit over a six-year payback period. And we customarily use that 15% rate for low-risk projects, and energy management projects are inherently low-risk investments. Another opportunity is to make a financial commitment up to $1.5 million annually to fund cost-effective energy management projects system-wide. We also want to reinvest that revenue from energy savings into cost-effective energy management projects. And here I'd like to dwell on that one a little bit. Many of your serving utilities may have rebates and conservation grant programs that you can take advantage of, which will make that investment hurdle even more lucrative, and you can take those grants and rebates and plug those back into your energy management program for seeding future projects. And lastly, but not least, we want to recognize our top performers and recognize them for the improvements that they have played a role in making for your facilities. Very important to recognize your people. And that concludes my portion of the presentation. I'd like to turn it over now to my colleague Ron Tolleson down in Longview at St. John Medical Center.
Thank you, Scott. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Ron Tolleson. I'm the Director of Facilities at St. John Medical Center in Longview. And I'm going to discuss some of the goals that we laid out for the Strategic Energy Management Plan and discuss our progress towards those goals. I think you're going to recognize a lot of themes from earlier comments. Our first goal was to obtain executive approval for the plan. We recognize that for a project of this scale, if we didn't have executive support, then we wouldn't have much chance of succeeding. Our regional CEO is also the executive sponsor for our facility counterpart group. She presented the plan to our Peace Health executive team back in November 2006. It was reviewed and approved, and my experience is that we've enjoyed very strong management support since that time. Our next goal was to establish a group to actually execute the plan, and of course that fell to our facilities counterpart team. Myself and Scott Durow were appointed energy champions. I think that's definitely because we're very interested in energy management and want to see it progress in the system. Our role is to interact with our peers in other regions and encourage participation in the plan. We discuss our progress and projects at our quarterly meetings and document energy savings, both in terms of power and dollars. I can tell you that in the very beginning, there were several regions that were very strong in energy management and working in the plan. Others were a little slower to get started, but I was very pleased at our last meeting roughly 2 to 3 weeks ago that I could see many of, if not all of our regional partners are now into the program at one level or another, and we're enjoying really good success because of that. Our next goal was to establish some financial criteria. We knew that at some point we'd need to talk to our finance group to get funding for projects, We discussed things like life cycle costing, which is looking at total cost of ownership, more than just initial investment. We look at total cost, including maintenance and operation. We looked at hurdle rates, minimum levels of return that we'd expect from a project before we can finance it. My experience here in Lower Columbia is that I haven't had difficulty getting projects financed simply because the payback on them is pretty darn quick, and they just make really good business sense. So they're not difficult to get approval for. Our next goal is to establish some procurement standards, some buying standards. We recognize that all of the electrical consuming devices that come in our door through purchasing have a big impact on energy consumption, things like televisions, appliances, and PCs. What we did is we partner with our materials management group, our buyers, and we first did that by holding a teleconference to explain to materials management how our program worked and the role that they could play in helping it succeed. We worked with them on establishing purchasing guidelines. For example, all appliances, televisions, PCs, we asked that at minimum they be Energy Star labeled, and that's worked out very well for us. It's really helped us succeed a lot. We work with our counterparts in other regions on group purchasing opportunities, and we also use a lot of vendor resources. We're sponsored today by Premier, and I don't know if you've had a chance to look at their Sphere website. It's got a lot of really great information on energy management, and I believe the link is attached to this program, so I highly recommend that. Our next goal was to enhance facility performance, actually start with energy management and reduce consumption. As discussed earlier, the first thing we did was hire a energy management consultant group, and they did a survey of all of our major buildings in the Peace Health system. A set of recommendations came out of that study, and a lot of projects have developed out of that study. In Lower Columbia, I use it as a blueprint, an outline for our energy management plan, and we're executing it step by step. Also alluded to earlier, we do a lot of staff training. Scott talked earlier about the Building Operator Certification Program, and all of our techs in Lower Columbia have attended that program. It's a 7-class module. I sat through the program myself with our techs, and I can tell you it's an excellent program. I highly recommend it. Also, a lot of regions have done building occupant awareness programs, helping to educate them on the value of turning off lights, for example, or turning off your PCs at night and the impact that they can make. And, of course, we share best practices amongst ourselves in the various regions, things that have worked for us and sometimes projects that maybe not have worked so well. Our next goal was to collaborate with our construction teams. We do a lot of renovation and new construction in all of our facilities. We wanted to make sure that energy efficiency was basically plugged in designs from day one. It's been a real boon for us here in Longview. We've done a lot of construction over the past few years that has allowed us to do things like upgrade our chiller plant to a higher efficiency chiller plant. We have replaced a lot of older light fixtures with newer, more modern, more energy efficient light fixtures. We've done things like replace single pane windows with double pane windows. And so construction has really been a win for everyone. It's certainly helped us out in operation and maintenance. It's been great for the building occupants and all the departments. And finally, it's had a real nice impact on energy consumption. And then our last goal was to conduct monitoring and tracking throughout the system. And our primary means of doing that is the Energy Star Portfolio Manager program. It's a great program. It's very easy to set up. It's very easy to maintain. We use it to benchmark ourselves against other hospitals in the nation. It also gives you a really good snapshot of trends and of your own energy consumption to your own facilities. Our longer-term goal is to have all of our facilities Energy Star labeled. As Scott alluded to earlier, we currently have two labeled and a third one in the works. We use another program in addition to Energy Star Portfolio Manager called Utility Manager, and it's a little more technical. It allows conservation managers to drill down and diagnose energy trends and look for areas of improvement. So that's a summary of our goals for the program. And as far as progress to date for our bigger goal of an $800,000 savings, annual savings, and 10% energy reduction, we are roughly 2.5 years into the plan, and I'd say we're pretty darn close to 80% of meeting our goal. So we've made significant progress. In the past, Peace Health has done a lot to reduce energy consumption, but prior to SEMP, it was primarily done regionally. There wasn't a lot of coordination in the system or long-term direction. SEMP added that system approach, that system look, gave us a lot more guidelines and established some goals for us. We're enjoying a lot of success with our program, and I think that that's going to be increasingly important in the very near future as energy prices start to rise again and resources become scarce. So I definitely recommend a strategic approach for any organization that's looking at energy management in their own facilities. And with that, I'm going to hand it back to Gina and Lauren, and we'll be available for questions.
Gina, are you on the line?
Thank you very much. That was absolutely fabulous, and that concludes our formal presentation. We would like to invite everyone listening to ask any questions that they might have or to comment on what we've heard. And before I ask our operator to instruct our participants, I just wanted to again remind you that the Premier Sphere website that was mentioned, premiering.com/sphere, has lots of information on energy savings, including case studies, as well as the links to the Better Bricks that was mentioned on the call, and information and links to websites that have information for funding opportunities for various state and local initiatives. So with that, I'd like to ask the operator to please instruct all of our participants on how to register a question.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We will pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Rick Roscoe.
Hi, this is Rick Roscoe from Harris County Hospital District in Houston. I have two questions. First, the Energy Star Portfolio Manager that I believe Scott just mentioned, is that something that I could pull up on their website and benchmark our hospital with other hospitals with immediately? And then my second question is about computers. Whether or not computers should be turned off every night or not, it's an old thing we've kicked around, and there's a lot of old wives' tales if you should or you shouldn't. What do you guys say?
Let me just answer the first part about EPA and Portfolio Manager, and then I'll turn it over to Scott. On this Sphere website that I mentioned, there's a section called Resources, and in that section are all the pieces of information that you need to find out about what is Portfolio Manager, how to access it, and the partnership that EPA has with ASHI about getting started and becoming part of their program for improvement. So with that, Scott, would you answer the rest?
Okay. Well, I would just like to jump in and say yes, that you should benchmark your utility consumption on Portfolio Manager, that the program will automatically allow comparison. I mean, that's what it does, basically, is to compare your facility's usage against like facilities. And you'll set that all up as you go through that process of establishing your facility on that service. The second part of your question, let's see, was on turning computers off. And we're going through an interesting process right now of getting, first of all, getting our staff to manually turn their computers off at night, and then secondly, to use some technology that I'll let Ron address regarding the automated turn-off of computers during hours of when they're not used. So basically, yes, it is kind of an old, in my opinion, it's an old, outdated concern that you should not turn your computers off at night, there's no harm that you can do by practicing that. So, Ron, do you want to talk to him about the EPA program that we're looking into for automating our computer shutdown at night?
You bet. There's a lot of contrary opinions about turning off PCs at night, and we're actually getting some data on that. There's a Energy Star consulting group called the Beacon Group, and through Energy Star, their services have actually been provided to us for free to conduct a study here at St. John. And basically, we're going to put monitors on PCs throughout the facility and instruct users to behave in certain ways so we can understand how their behavior actually affects consumption and have hard data. And I think that what the consulting group has experienced in the past is that a lot of these myths about turning off PCs just don't materialize. It doesn't cause inconvenience for users or significant problems for IT. But we're going to actually have some hard data on that, and it'll translate into how much we can save by turning off equipment. And interestingly enough, our IT group has recently come on board with this, and they're partnering with us to get this data and act on it. So I'm real pleased that they're becoming energy focused as well.
Thank you.
Again. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Patrick Carruthers.
Go ahead, Patrick.
Yes, I want to know how difficult it is now within, I would say, the last 8 months to get funding for all these initiatives, energy-saving initiatives.
I can hardly hear you. Let me just say again that on the safety the Safety Sphere website, premierinc.com/sphere, there is a wonderful link to a website under resources that tells you what's available in each state. And just an additional comment, the stimulus package had a number of components that talked about funding for some of these energy initiatives. Unfortunately, hospitals were not included in the list of organizations. So there's some legislation being drafted right now that would include hospitals as one of the entities that might receive funding that was available from the stimulus package. So we're waiting to see about that. And I'll toss that over to somebody on the panel that might want to share any funding opportunities that they've had in Washington State.
Okay. Well, Gina, I'd like to jump in there real quick and encourage Patrick that your first call should be to your electric utility. That would be a very lucrative source of funding. It is here in the Northwest. I don't know about in other parts of the country, but electric utilities historically have provided some form of marketing or conservation assistance especially to their larger institutional customers.
And I can tell you that it'll vary. This is Ron Tullison, St. John. I can tell you it varies quite a bit from area to area. In the upper part of the Washington State where Scott works, the Puget Sound Group is very progressive and has a lot of great programs. Oregon and Southwest Washington are considerably different, but we have secured rebates from our local utility, and I agree, definitely contact them, and they'll walk you through their programs.
And this is Gary Hall. I'd just like to comment that, you know, as far as internal funding goes and resourcing these projects from operations of your hospital, you know, the compelling reasons are everything that we've outlined. We can significantly reduce cost. You know, everybody at this time is interested in reducing expenses, and there are a lot of opportunities in every facility with some very low-cost solutions to create significant savings. As simple as we've just identified by turning off PCs, it absolutely costs nothing but yields a savings. And then to parlay those savings into other opportunities, I think, is the key. So anyway, just a couple of other ideas.
And just one last comment. This is the second in a series of teleconferences on energy that are all part of the Advisor Live series. But in our last teleconference last month, well, in April, we had representatives from Geisinger, Al Neuner, talk about how they have doubled their campus size over the last 10 years, but have kept their energy usage consistent for 10 years, and all of the cost-saving measures to the tune of $2 to $3 million every year in energy savings that's been used to fund all of their energy initiatives without having to cut any facility staff. So I urge you to pull down the audio file and the slides and listen to Al Neuner's presentation about how he was able to do that without any additional money. Next question, please.
Your next question comes from Karan Srivastava.
Hi, yes. I was wondering if you have leveraged any of the resources available through some of the Department of Energy programs, such as Energy Smart Hospitals and the Hospital Energy Alliance?
I can speak for St. John in the Lower Columbia region. We haven't accessed those funds, no.
Okay. Neither have we at St. Joseph's.
Would that be something you'd be interested in?
Oh, it certainly, yeah, we're always looking for funding opportunities, and if you can guide us towards something new, we'd absolutely be interested.
Is the person asking that question a representative of the Department of Energy, the Energy
yes.
Alliance?
Yes, I'm working on behalf of the Department of Energy in both those programs. So
great. Well, we certainly would love to have information about what funding would be available and would be happy to push that out or share it with the audiences on these calls. Premier was represented, along with a number of our hospitals, at the launch of the Hospital Energy Alliance in D.C. a couple of weeks ago on the cusp of the swine flu outbreak. Funding opportunities, I mean, there's lots of wonderful plans. We would love to have more about it.
It's not as much funding opportunities as resources, partnerships, training, and those kind of assistance opportunities.
Absolutely. And I believe we have a link on our website to that program with a summary of that program in our resource section on Sphere. And there's a couple of really nice case studies on that Hospital Energy Alliance website, as well as additional information for that training. So I urge the participants to go there. And if you have any additional information to add to that, please let me know.
Answer
the question.
Yeah, on the Hospital Energy Alliance website, you can just Google it. There is a way to go ahead and send an email to us expressing interest, and we'll reach out to you and let you know about the resource available. There's no fees for any of this. It's all federally provided resources that are free, and it addresses exactly energy efficiency and all the things that you've been speaking about on this call. So,
great, thanks.
Feel free to reach out.
Next question.
Your next question comes from the line of Jeffrey Kiyik.
Right. This is Jeff Kiyak from Kaiser Permanente. I've got two comments, or a comment and a question. First of all, we are charter members of the Hospital Energy Alliance that got started last fall. And the truth of the matter is that we did just have the kickoff, as a representative from DOE explained, and we are just getting formulated. And one of the key items is for us to share best practices. So we're excited about those prospects, and we welcome all healthcare systems and ancillary folks that support that to join the cause. Second item, though, is a question for the panelists. Could you describe what sort of your general organization in facilities and the level of resources, both human and fiscal, that are dedicated to energy conservation activities like you've described here?
I guess I could jump on that one first. I was hired a couple of years ago as the resource conservation manager to focus on energy management issues. So my full-time responsibility is to energy management here. We have it's close to a 300-bed hospital with other outlying medical office buildings and ancillary facilities. So I don't know if that kind of gives you a flavor for what level of commitment they have here, but I would also add that I'm partially sponsored, and again, this is a plug for our electric utility, Puget Sound Energy, partially sponsored by their program in this resource conservation management effort.
Thanks.
In Lower Columbia, I'm the director of facilities, but energy management is a big part of my job. So it's not a full-time occupation for me. It is a big focus, and in our department, all of our personnel are aware that this is a program we really want to support and move forward.
I think the other thing that we've been able to leverage is partnerships with this is Gary Hall, sorry, but we've been able to leverage partnerships with our materials management counterparts, colleagues, our IT colleagues, and other folks in the organization to help us in our initiatives down to the staff level. And so we really tried to push this down into everybody's responsibility. We've got Peace Health has just about 14,000 employees, and I think that spreading this awareness and spreading our initiatives throughout the Peace Health organization has really helped us leverage some of that action and progress.
Okay, next question.
Your next question comes from the line of Sandra Bergman.
Sandra, go ahead.
Yes, I just was wondering if you could comment on your startup actions and the type of resistance, if any, or questions from your administration.
Well, this is Gary. I sit on our regional executive team, and I'm a participant in the system administration of our initiatives. And there really hasn't been resistance. There has been priorities of different capital allocations and resources, but there hasn't been resistance. I think that what we were able to identify and achieve collaboration on early was our strategic energy management plan, and within that plan we were able to articulate compelling reasons to adopt the plan and to support the plan, and so nobody necessarily resists it as much as we have competing resources and needs for the limited resources that we have. And so we recognize that we can't do it all right away, which was why we gave ourselves a conservative goal of saving 10% over 3 years. So we recognized it was going to be steps, small steps along the way, but I don't think that we really had any resistance per se.
Thank you.
Also, just to add, that was mentioned, I mentioned before, and our faculty did, about the resources and the case study actually from Peace Health on the Better Bricks website at betterbricks.com. This website is an initiative of the Northwest Energy Efficiency Alliance, and it's supported by all the local utilities in the Northwest. And really, this website has, in addition to what was mentioned as ASHE as a wonderful resource, this one also has tools and case studies and calculators and materials for making the business case to the leadership, helpful ways to calculate life cycle cost and financing, how to diagnose your building high-performance systems, sample RFPs, and even tips for staff with PowerPoint presentations and templates. It's really a wonderful, wonderful resource with a number of additional case studies. So I urge you, rather than reinventing the wheel, to pull down some of those resources to enhance your energy programs. Next question.
Your next question comes from Peter Kennebec.
Go ahead, Peter.
Peter Kennebec from McLeod Health, Florence, South Carolina. Is anybody out there doing any electrical or methane gas generation to also offset some of the energy costs?
This is
I'm not aware of any in the Peace Health system. It's pretty fascinating technology, though, and we're very interested in it.
This is Scott. I just might add that our electrical costs here in the Northwest are not such that combined heat and power systems would be competitive at this point. It's close in our service area, but not there yet.
Just to add, again, premierinc.com/sphere under resources, we just added a case study from Catholic Healthcare West that has initiated a methane project. So you might want to look at that case study from Catholic Healthcare West and connect with those folks. They will also be presenting on a future Advisor Live energy program about what they have been doing with energy reduction, and the methane project is going to be one they're going to feature.
Appreciate that.
Next question.
There are no further questions. Do you have any closing remarks?
Okay, well, that was terrific.
Gina, yes. It's Lauren. There's one question on the chat, and I don't think you're logged on to it. Do you mind if I
go ahead? Absolutely. Go ahead, Lauren. Thank you.
It's for Scott. And Scott had asked, were you able to improve overall environmental comfort and performance as stated in your plan objectives, and how did that impact patient, physician, staff satisfaction, or other business metrics such as productivity, operations, retention, infection rates, et cetera? Kind of a long one, but.
Wow. That's a loaded one. There would be a lot of data that we'd have to gather to answer that question, but I would like to just kind of give you a synopsis of my answer to that. And that is that what we found in many cases when we have concerns about environmental comfort, infection control, infection prevention, patient safety, those issues, as it relates to energy management, that there's a real symbiotic relationship there. They all tend to support each other, that you can have a very efficient facility. You can support the hospital's objectives for patient safety, infection prevention, and you can have your critical areas that, in addition to operating efficiently, will be able to operate within the temperature and humidity ranges that are necessary to maintain the standards required. And there's one system or one emphasis does not compete against the other. They're very symbiotic, and the support is there when you show the staff out there that relationship exists.
This is Gary Hall. Just one more comment. One of the things that we were able to implement was an addition of a different style filter bank. We went with a Strion electrostatic filter bank in place of the bag filters, and this is number. And basically we were able to deliver HEPA filtration at a 50% bag resistance rate. So basically our electricity consumption dropped dramatically by this different type of filter bank, delivering cleaner air to the entire patient tower. The investment was probably around $125,000 to $130,000. And that investment paid for itself in less than 2 years. So there are things that you can do that will create a healthier, better environment and save significantly on your energy bills.
Thank you. And just to follow up to that question about methane gas, on our August 19th program, which is going to be from 2 to 3 Eastern time, there's going to be a presentation by Catholic Healthcare West. And they're going to talk about a number of their energy conservation initiatives, including a cogeneration project that transformed methane gas waste from a landfill into renewable energy. And a little bit of that is on the case study already on our website. But if you want to hear the folks from CHW talk about that project, join us on August 19th. So that concludes our program today. We'd really like to thank everyone on the line for participating. Check your email tomorrow, and you'll receive some instructions on how to access a recording. And, again, we'd love you to fill out our survey and tell us what you think about our program and any recommendations for future programs, both on energy and other healthcare topics that are important right now. So I would love to thank the faculty, and we heard some wonderful presentations today, and thank the audience for participating, and we wish you a great afternoon.
Can we have the speakers? Let's have the speakers remain on the line, please.
Thank you.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.